We have our scripture now open to Psalm 127. If you are a part of the family here at Grace City, you know that we've been going through the book of Ecclesiastes all summer long, and we believe that the author of the book of Ecclesiastes was Solomon. So even though we have gotten away from Ecclesiastes this morning, because we do want to have a focused sermon on parenting and raising the next generation to follow Jesus, we won't be doing that from Ecclesiastes. However, we're not getting away from Solomon, because Psalm 127, as you'll notice in a moment, is actually a psalm of Solomon. So we're away from Ecclesiastes, we're not away from Solomon. The good news is we're not away from the Spirit of God, because all scripture is given by inspiration of God. This is his word, and we love it. And I want to invite you now to give your attention to Psalm 127 as I read it. And after I read it, I will pray and ask God's blessing upon it. The title of this morning's message is Hopeful Parenting. Let's hear the word of God. A Song of Ascents of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. That is God's word. Let's take a moment to thank him for it and ask his blessing upon it. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you now in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, our helper. We thank you that you are not a God who's silent. You speak. We don't have to guess what you're thinking, because you've told us what is in your mind and in your heart and have preserved it for us in the pages of the Bible from cover to cover. And so we thank you that what we just heard is your very word, and what you have for us in it is life-giving. And so we pray this morning in particular that the word that we've just read would breathe into our hearts hope for raising the next generation to follow your Son Jesus. I pray particularly for the parents in this room this morning, that they would have a renewed confidence that unless you build the house, we labor in vain who build it. Help us, Lord, as parents and as those who are not parents who are committed as a community, to know what that means and to believe it and to love it and to anchor our hope in it. God, we pray that you would continue to build us as a church family. Would you continue to strengthen us? And we know that right now you're going to do that for us through your word. And so come now, help us, strengthen us, bless us, and make us more aware of Jesus than we were up to this point, even in our gathering. We pray this in his name. Amen. All right, come on, let's be real. Parenting is hard. And parenting is hard because one of the reasons parenting is hard is it is filled with surprises. How many of you have ever been surprised as a parent? Parenting is filled with surprises. One of the things I was surprised with when it came to parenting was when our kids started talking. When they start talking, they start doing something pretty regularly. They ask a lot of questions. Kids are question machines. Why, what, how, when, right? Kids love to ask lots of questions. And I'm convinced that God blessed us with three children who ask more questions than any other kid on the planet. In fact, if our kids were participating in the Rio Olympics this past summer and question asking were an Olympic event, they would have won the gold, the silver, and the bronze. They would have swept the podium. I'm going throughout years of parenting, especially in the younger years, every single day is filled with a number of questions. Some questions in our home are really easy to answer, like, do we have any Pop-Tarts? Is that a rhetorical question, right? For those of you who know me and know my love for Pop-Tarts, I believe that they're modern-day manna. They are a wonderful expression of God's goodness, especially brown sugar cinnamon. Some questions I'm amazed that kids ask. For instance, one time I put my oldest son to bed when he was younger, and he was probably only like 6 or 7. And he said, Dad, you've been teaching us that God is in control of everything. And if God is in control of everything, why did he let Adam and Eve sin? That's a great question. Let me introduce you to the realm of mystery, right? Some questions I'd like to defer to my wife, Rachel, who's actually home this morning because one of our kids are sick. I'd like to defer them to her, like questions like, what's for dinner? And where do babies come from? All right? As our kids get older, the questions keep coming, don't they? And they get deeper and harder to answer. A part of parenting is answering questions. And it is the great responsibility and opportunity as mothers and fathers to answer questions in such a way to help shape the lives of our children. But like I said at the beginning, let's be honest, it's hard. Some questions are difficult to answer. Some questions are difficult to anticipate. No doubt, parenting is one of the most amazing privileges, but if we're real this morning, we will all agree that parenting is also one of the most difficult challenges. Maybe you're struggling as a parent today. And here's what I believe this psalm offers to us. This psalm offers us a way for discouragement in parenting to transfer into hope in parenting. Psalm 127 doesn't present the secret to success in parenting. However, Psalm 127 gives us something we're all looking for as we labor towards raising the next generation to know God, to love God, to worship Him as a disciple of Jesus. Psalm 127 presents us with a vision for hope. Hope for building our families in a way that honors the Lord. Psalm 127 is a wisdom psalm, and it speaks into the very practical realities of raising a family. It presents us with two options when it comes to raising our families in general and raising our children in particular. And the point of the song that we're going to look at here this morning is for you to pick. Which way will you choose to raise your family? Which way will you choose to parent your children? Option one, you can build your family independent from God. Option two, you can build your family independence upon God. Here are the options. According to this psalm, you can build your family, raise your children independent from God, or you can raise your children, build your family independence upon God. One will be in vain, because you're doing it on your own. The other will be blessed because you're doing it with God's help. And that's the big idea I want us to consider this morning from Psalm 127. Hope comes to parents who build their families in dependence upon the Lord. Hope comes to parents who build their families in dependence upon the Lord. Notice that I'm not saying predictable outcomes in parenting come to those who depend upon the Lord. What we're looking at this morning is hope. Hope. What does it take to build our families in dependence upon the Lord? That's the question we want to consider this morning from Psalm 127. What does it take to build our families in dependence upon the Lord and to experience this hope that's being held out to us through Psalm 127? First, it's going to take honesty. It takes honesty. We must view children the way God does. Look at verse 3. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb, a reward. The word behold here is calling us to set our sights on something. Look at this. And what we're being told to look at is our children. Whether you're a parent this morning or a part of this community and you don't have kids, you're being called by the Lord here as a part of the community here, a part of this assembly, to take your eyes and to look at the kids around you. Look at your own kids. Look at the kids around you in a particular way. Behold, children are a heritage. See your kids as a heritage. Now, this isn't the way we normally talk today. The word heritage means a possession. It's a word that was most often used in Bible times to describe a lot of land. Land in Bible times, as it is today, is a very valuable commodity. God wants us to see our children as a heritage, as a possession, as a very valuable thing. So see your kids as a heritage means to see them as valuable, a valuable possession that has been entrusted to you from the Lord. It also says here to see your kids not only as a heritage, but as from the Lord. This would indicate that if you have children, where did they come from? Not the stork. We're not talking about the biological process either. We're talking about where they ultimately come from. According to the psalmist here, children ultimately and fundamentally are given to us as a valuable possession from the hand of God. God gives us children. So if you have children this morning, they have been given to you from the Lord. And something that is given to you is something that can also be described as a gift. So if you have been given children this morning, you have been given gifts from the Lord, a gift or multiple gifts from the Lord. And just like we choose gifts, we don't choose gifts for people we love haphazardly. We put time and effort and thought into choosing the gifts that we're going to give to people we love. Guys, if you're going to celebrate your wife's birthday or your anniversary, you don't just walk into the store and say, just give me something. I'll give my wife a gift. Guys, if you do that, maybe I can help you out with some marriage counseling, but that's just not the way to do it. When you're going to give a gift for a loved one, you put time and effort, you consider the person, you think about it, and you come up with something that you know will be best and will be an expression of your heart for that person you love. This is exactly what God has done for you, parents. Your kids are not an accident. Who they are is not random. Your children, their personalities, their gifts, their talents, their abilities or lack of abilities, who they are, what they can do and can't do, has been shaped by the Lord, especially with you in mind. Your children are a God-made gift to you. Children are from the Lord. He wants you to see your children this way, a heritage from the Lord. And finally, see your kids as a reward. The idea here is not that children are a prize you receive for doing good. So if you have a good kid, it's a good prize. If you have a tough kid, that's just bad karma. I grew up in a home where that's what I was told. I'm the oldest of six boys. You can still pray for my mom. She's dealing with the aftershock, okay? Six boys, grew up in a row home in Juniata Park on K Street, okay? Thank you, okay? Juniata in the house, all right? Okay, so I'm the oldest of six boys. Again, my mom is still kind of walking around a little jittery from all this, all right? You know what my mom used to tell me when I was a kid? Because we were bad. We were really bad. Jesus saved me as a teenager. You should, other story, other sermon, okay? But you know what my mom used to say to us? You'll get yours when you have your kids. What are you talking about? Well, she was saying, you know, if you guys are going to treat me like this, someday you'll get your kids. And what comes around, buddy, goes around. Thankfully, that hasn't been the case. Praise Jesus. Children are not the result of bad karma or good karma. Children are a hand-picked gift from the Lord with the intention to bless you. They're a reward, not a prize for doing good. Yet they are an expression of God's heart to bless you. Your children are not on this earth to burden you. Your children are on this earth to bless you. The psalmist is telling us, take an honest look at your kids. Take an honest look at them. This is how you should see them. You should see them as valuable. They are a heritage. As a gift, they are from the Lord. And as his desire to bless you, they are a reward. So parents, is that how you view your children? Valuable gifts from the Lord to bless you and bless others. Non-parents, is that how you view the children of this local church? Is that how you view the children on your block? Valuable gifts from the Lord intended to bless you and be a blessing to others. Sadly, we live in a culture that so often views children as a burden instead of a blessing. I think of an article I read not too long ago, where 41-year-old actress Cameron Diaz was being asked to explain why she made it very public that she never intended to have children. I have nothing against Cameron Diaz. This is just a very, very interesting article. She never planned to have children. She didn't have children. She never intends to. She maybe passed the opportunity to even have them if she wanted to now. But here's what she said to explain why she didn't want to have any kids. She says, it's so much more work to have children. To have lives besides your own that you're responsible for, I didn't take that on. That did make things easier for me, to be honest. A baby, that's all day, every day, for 18 years. She decided not to have children because she viewed children as a hindrance to her career, a burden, and not a blessing. And there are so many people who sadly view kids this way, not as a blessing, but as a burden. And not to go too much into this, but this is why Aaron stood before us today and invited us to celebrate the work of ministries like Alpha Care, who want especially confused and conflicted women in our city to know that children are a blessing, not a burden. And even if difficult circumstances have led to a pregnancy, there is hope. There are other options. This is why we stand in front of abortion clinics and we pray and we plead, because children are not a burden. Children are a blessing. So what does it look like to build our families in dependence upon the Lord? First, it looks like honestly looking into the eyes of your children, honestly looking into the eyes of the children all around you and calling them what they are, a valuable gift from God meant to bless. And so let us thank God for these precious gifts. You thank God for your precious gifts, and let us all join God in thanking him for the gifts that are among us. So what does it take? It takes honesty. Second, it takes hard work. This is probably the biggest no-brainer point of the whole sermon. We must care for our children the way God requires. This comes in verses 1 and 2. Look down at your text. Look at verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. A couple thoughts here from the details of the verse. First, the word house can mean either a literal house, a physical building structure, or a household. The people who make up a home. Given the context of the psalm, most likely this is referring to a family household and not a physical structure. It can mean more than building a family, raising a family, parenting children. It can mean more than that, but definitely not less than that. And what I want to draw your attention to as we focus in on this thought is this verse 1 says, here's what it takes to build a family. Here's what it takes to build a household. According to verse 1, it takes labor. All the moms in the house are saying, duh. It takes labor. It's a word that means to exert the kind of effort that requires a lot of energy, and in the end, it wipes you out. It means to expend yourself. That's what it takes to build a family. That's what it takes to raise children. Hard work and effort that tires you out. Did I need to say that? No. We know that parenting requires hard work that wipes you out. Strong families, in other words, do not get built by accident. It takes energy-draining hard work to do three things, according to verses 1 and 2. First, build and develop our children. Second, watch and protect our children. And third, provide for our children. So parents need to do the hard work. We as parents need to do the hard work of developing, protecting, and providing for our kids. Now, time doesn't give me to be able to develop these categories really long, and I don't even think it's really the intention of the psalm for us to go really deep into them, but we need to understand these categories. That the labor we need to exert as moms and dads and as those who are working together as a church community to partner with parents to raise the next generation, that we're going to have to put hard work and effort into developing, protecting, and providing for the kids. Parents, we need to do the hard work of developing our children. Let me just make a few comments about this. We are building something in our kids. We are building something. It takes hard work to develop our kids in every facet of their experience as human beings. Physical development, mental development, social development, emotional development, and spiritual development. We're told very little about Jesus, the God-man, in his younger years. But one of the things we are told at the end of Luke chapter 2 is that Jesus, as a child, he continued to grow in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Meaning this, part of Jesus' development as a child was to grow in all these important facets of human development. Mental development, physical development, social development, spiritual development. And part of the hard work that's required for parenting, part of the hard work that's required in raising up the next generation of Jesus followers is to do the hard work of giving attention to each one of those categories. Sometimes in the church, when we think of parenting, we only focus on the spiritual aspects of it. But don't be discouraged. Every single element, every single arena that you are giving attention to your children is part of what God has called you to do, and He's promised to help you in doing it. Our kids need to be developed. They need to be developed to make their key contribution in God's plan, in God's world, according to the gifts and abilities that God has given them. So we need to develop our kids. Parents, we need to do the hard work of protecting our kids. Verse 1 also talks about watchmen watching over a city. The idea here is that we need to keep watch over our kids in order to protect them from both physical and spiritual dangers. That's hard work. It's hard work for a number of reasons. There are lots of lurking dangers in the world that are actually in opposition to both their physical and their spiritual well-being. And we need to be on point. Parents are watchmen, keeping our eyes open for influences and for enemies who will thwart God's best for our kids. We have to protect them. And part of what makes protecting our kids difficult, part of what makes this work hard work, is because in parenting, we're not only caring for our kids, we also have to care for ourselves. Jesus made this very clear, that we're to love our neighbor like we what? Love ourselves. So if you're not caring for yourself physically, if you're not caring for your soul spiritually, you're not going to be adequately positioned and equipped to do that for your kids as well. We've got nothing to give to our kids if we're not first receiving from the Lord ourselves. And I wish my wife was here this morning. Like I already mentioned, one of our kids is sick. I'd want to honor her. She has constantly been an example to me in our home for what it takes to do the hard work of caring for your own soul first before you then pour out yourself for the kids. My wife is a very early riser, and I have no shame in communicating this. She's up before me. And when I get up in the morning, I will find her in her spot on that couch, drinking her coffee, reading her Bible, and praying, because she knows something that's significant. She's got nothing to give to the kids if she doesn't first receive from the Lord herself. That's what makes parenting hard. We're not only trying to care for the kids, we need to care for the kids out of the overflow of the care we're receiving from God Himself. Out of the overflow of the care we're receiving from one another as followers of Jesus who are seeking to help one another grow. This is why involvement in the local church and involvement in our discipleship communities is so vital. Because we need to be strong. We don't need to be perfect. That's not what this sermon is about. Because if that's what this sermon was about, I wouldn't be able to preach it. We are weak. We are weak, struggling followers of Jesus, trying to teach our children to follow Jesus. And we won't do that well unless we are actually being cared for ourselves. Parents, we need to do the hard work of protecting our children. And thirdly, we need to do the hard work of providing for our children. Verse 2 talks about toiling to put bread on the table. Like many of you, I grew up in a very poor family in my neighborhood. My father is not a follower of Jesus, and I pray for him to turn to Jesus. I love my dad, and there's so many ways in which my dad has provided an example to me. And one of the ways my dad has provided an example of me of what it looks like to work hard to provide for your family. My dad very often, almost always worked two jobs and sometimes three jobs to make sure that our family of eight was taken care of in Juniata. And I'd watch him there were times where I didn't even see my dad. And I knew it's not because he was trying to run from us. It's not because he was trying to be selfish. It's because he was working his tail off so that we could eat and have a roof over our heads. This is the kind of hard work it takes to provide for our families. Don't be mistaken. Parenting and dependence upon the Lord is not a let go and let God type of thing. We have to work hard. If you're operating off of a let go and let God mentality in parenting, then I need to exhort you. Stop it. That's not in your Bible, by the way, let go and let God. We kind of throw that one out there a lot, okay? Like cleanliness is next to godliness, right? That one as well, right? No, that's not in your Bible. I challenge you, read it cover to cover. You won't find it. I haven't found it. I don't think it's in there. It's not in there. Let go and let God is not in your Bible. Part of parenting involves hard work, exerting energy and effort in developing, protecting, and providing for our kids. So again, by way of application, ask yourself the question, moms and dads, and I include myself in this, where are we being lazy or careless in developing, protecting, and providing for our kids? We have to be willing to get tired in order to care for our kids the way God requires. It takes honesty, it takes hard work, and then finally, it takes humility. It takes humility. We must depend on God to work through our work of parenting. Verse 1 indicates that building a family takes hard work. We've considered that. But notice that it takes more than our work. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. So wait a minute. Who's building the family? Who's doing the work? The first part of the phrase says, unless the Lord builds. And then the second part of the phrase talks about those who build. That's us. The same thing happens again later on at the end of verse 1. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. So you have the Lord watching in the first part of the phrase, and then you have the watchman watching in the second part of the phrase. How do these things fit together? Here's the idea. The idea is that unless God works through our work, then our hard work is in vain. Unless the Lord works through our work, builds through our building, develops through our developing, protects through our protection, provides through our provision, then that work is in vain. We need the Lord to bless our efforts. Amen? This takes humility. It takes humility to honestly and humbly acknowledge that I cannot make my kids turn out the way I want them to turn out. I can't guarantee their future. I can't do X, Y, and Z, and this will be the end result. We long for them to love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. We long for them to be well taken care of. We long for them to make a difference for the glory of God. We long for them to be fruitful and productive in their vocations. We long for them to do well in school. We want them to develop and grow and be blessed in all these ways, don't we? But there is a limitation to our efforts. We need the Lord to work through our work. It looks like coming to the Lord and saying, God, unless you work through our work of parenting, then our parenting is in vain. We need you to help us. We can't control the outcome here. We can't do this without you. Do you believe that? How do you know if you believe that? How do you know if you functionally believe that? Not just know that in your head, because that's kind of like the right answer. If you're given a quiz, who's ultimately responsible for the outcome of your children? Oh, the Lord, right? Right? We know the right answer. But functionally, how do we know if we're really acting like we believe that? I think this text points us in two directions. First, ask yourself, do you regularly pray for and with your children? Do you regularly pray for and with your children? I would say it this way. Prayer is humility expressed in words. We pray for our kids because more than anything, we need God to develop them. We need God to protect them. We need God to provide for them. We pray with our kids. We don't just want to pray away from our kids. We want to pray with our kids because we want our kids to hear us ask God to do for them what only He can do for them. So do you pray with and for your kids? That's one way you can know if you really believe that you need the Lord to build the house. Here's another way. Ask yourself this. Do I sleep at night? say, where'd you get that from? Look at verse 3. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. So what's that got to do with parenting? Everything. The idea in verse 3 is that when we aren't humbly depending on the Lord to work through our work, then we get up earlier than we should, and we stay up later than we need to, because we believe it all depends on us. See, sleep is that daily reminder that I'm not God. Sleep is that daily reminder that I can stop working because the Lord never stops working. Sleep is that daily reminder that when we work in dependence upon the Lord, we can actually rest at night knowing that there is one who never sleeps, who ultimately has our children in his hands. We can rest because the Lord never stops loving on, providing for, protecting, and building the lives of our dear children. Church, Jesus is Lord of our children. What's that mean? It means we can go to sleep at night. It means we can relax and let God be God at nighttime. What does this all lead to? It leads to hope. When we build our families in dependence upon the Lord, in honesty, with hard work, and with this kind of humility, in the end, it leads to hope. It leads to believing that our kids actually have a destiny to fulfill in God's world according to God's big plan. Parenting with honesty, hard work, and humility leads to this hope. And I think our hope for our children's future is wrapped up in the imagery of verse 4. Look at verse 4. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. God wants us to view our kids like arrows. So let's use our imaginations here. Normally it's our kids that get to play make-believe, but let's play make-believe for a little bit here. Your kids are arrows, and you, mom and dad, you are a warrior. Come on, you know you want to do that. Come on. You're a warrior. And your kids are arrows. In other words, your kids are weapons of mass destruction. Just kidding. It means they're useful. They have something to do and somewhere to go. Your kids have something to do and somewhere to go. A target that they are intending, that they have been intended by God to hit. And you have the privilege as a parent to make sure they are a straight and sharp arrow so that you at the right time can shoot them out to do and to be and to go where God has sent them. That's the hope of parenting in dependence upon the Lord. That your kids have a destiny to fulfill. They have a plan that God has crafted before the foundation of the world. And you have the great joy of joining God in getting them ready for this great mission. To make this great contribution. Some of your kids, I mean, Whitney Houston, he says, I believe the children are our future. You know, you've heard that, right? Right. That's not what this is saying, but it's not too far from the truth. Our kids are going to do things we never do. They're going to go places we've never gone. They're going to make much of Jesus in ways that we were never able. They're going to have to finish things that we've started, all for the glory of God. And we have the privilege of getting them ready for that. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that hope-filled? Part of our legacy as parents is to shoot our children out into God's world to make an impact. And if they're going to make an impact, then they need to be prepared. They need to be developed. They need to be protected. They need to be provided for. And we have the joy of joining God in this glorious effort. This is the way we need to see our kids. They are future kingdom servants. They are future world changers. They are the doctors and the good lawyers of Philadelphia, right? They are the builders and the construction workers and the teachers. They are the future of this city And we want to see this city come to know Jesus. We want to see this city shine brightly. We want to see this city and this world make much of the one who made us and saved us for his glory. And your kids have a part to play in this great plan. Isn't that exciting? So that's how we need to see our kids when they're infants and toddlers and preschoolers and elementary age and junior high and high school and young adults. They have a part to play in God's big plan. And we have the joy of getting them ready. God is going to use those kids to do something for his glory. So ask yourself, what are your kids' interests? What are they good at? Help them. Encourage that. Celebrate that. Develop that. Fund that. And help them see how they can make a difference in God's world. Amen? God wants to use your kids to build things for his glory. There's a very clever play on words in this psalm that you would never recognize in the English translation. The word for children in verses 3 and 4 is the Hebrew word banim, and the Hebrew word for builders in verse 1 is bonim. And so here's the kind of the Hebrew poetry here, your banim, our future bonim. And so this is kind of like it's a rhythmic attention grabber that your kids are the future builders. Your banim are the future bonim. We get them ready for this. Think about this in relationship to the author of this psalm. We're told in the superscription that this is the song of Solomon. Solomon was King David's son, right? And David wanted to build a temple for the Lord that he never got to build. But God gave him a son that he raised up and prepared him to build something he couldn't build. Solomon was an arrow that David, his father, shot out to build something significant for God's glory. But then there is something that Solomon couldn't build. One day, one of Solomon's descendants would come and build a temple even bigger and more beautiful than the one he built. His name is Jesus, the God-man, a human descendant of King David and Solomon who would come to this earth born of a virgin, go through childhood, and when the fullness of time had come, he would be shot out from his earthly father Joseph to make a difference in this world and to live a life and to give his life and to be raised from the dead, to build a spiritual temple comprised of people from every tongue, language, and nation who would bring God glory. It's you. It's me. It's the church universal. What David couldn't build, Solomon built. What Solomon couldn't build, Jesus built. And we are that building. What a savior. What a principle. Our children will build what we can't. So our hope is that our kids will have to finish building what we started right here in our city. And our hope is that whatever they build, it will spread the fame of the one who's built us into a spiritual temple through his life, death on the cross, and glorious resurrection. And one day we'll be able to stand with all the saints in glory and look at all that was built through the efforts of God's people with the strength that the Lord has supplied. What a day that will be. Amen? I'll close with this quote. Derek Kidner, in his commentary on this psalm, made the following comment. He said, "It is not untypical of God's gifts that they first are liabilities, or at least responsibilities, before they become obvious assets. The greater their promise, the more likely that these children will be a handful before they are a quiverful." Isn't that the truth? Our children are first a handful before they are a quiverful. Parents, let us not grow weary in well-doing. Let us raise our children to follow Jesus and make their contribution to what God is doing in this city, in this world. May we do it with an honest look at these kids as gifts from the Lord who are intended to be a blessing and not a burden. Let us do this with hard work in developing, protecting, and providing our children. And let us do this in humility, realizing that unless God works through our work, all of our work of parenting, and all of our work of working together as a believing community will be in vain. But with the Lord, a house will be built, a city will be watched over that brings glory to King Jesus. Let us pray together. Father, we come to you now with this hope that although we don't have it all together as moms and dads, although we often struggle as a church to want to give the hard work that's necessary to working with one another to help raise our children to follow Jesus, that all the work that's necessary isn't dependent upon us, that you work through our work to build and to raise our children to follow your Son and to make their contribution in this world for your glory. And I pray that this would give us hope that all the kids in this church and the kids in our homes and even the kids in our block, these are future arrows that will be shot out into your world to make a difference for your glory. Help us, Lord, to give ourselves to laboring towards those arrows being sharp and being straight and being ready to be shot out. God, we pray for our children. We pray that those who are lost will be found, that those whose hearts are dead will be made alive, that they would turn and trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior and join us in following our Lord Christ. God, give us patience. Give us hope. Would you encourage the discouraged this morning? Would you exhort the careless this morning? Would you call us back to a commitment, the kind of commitment this psalm is calling us to build our families in dependence upon you. May you work through our work for our good, for the good of the next generation, and ultimately for your glory through the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen.